I want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren this morning. We want to welcome our church family, our friends. We are glad for those that are here in the sanctuary with us. We're asked you to wear masks as usual. For those in the Sunday school room, we'd say welcome, and those that are out in the car. God is good, and it's good to be with you. You know, for the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at the good news of God's grace. And today we're going to conclude this 8-week series on grace. And I just want us to review where we've been in the past 7 weeks. Review the 7 things that we've looked at concerning the benefits of God's grace. First, the Bible says we're saved by grace. That the only way to heaven is through the doorway of grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's just by God's grace. The Word of God says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and even that it is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast about having been saved." When you get to heaven, there's going to be no bragging about how you got there, except bragging on what God did for you in Jesus Christ. Second, we're sustained by grace. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "God is always working in you to give you the will and the power to do what He's called you to do." God will never ask you to do anything that He doesn't give you the ability and the power to do. And that power and ability is called grace. Third, the Word of God teaches that we're healed by grace. God heals our broken hearts. He binds up our wounds. He helps us get through the most disastrous experiences that we face. God is a healing God. Fourth, we are to share grace. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 10:8. He says, "Give as freely as you have received." And whatever you've been given by God, you are being asked to offer to others. Fifth, the Word of God says we're forgiven by grace. We're all in the same boat. In James 2:10, it says, "The person who keeps every law of God but makes one little slip is just as guilty as the person who has broken every law there is." And so the answer for our sin and brokenness is God's forgiving grace. Six, we're restored by grace. When we blow it, when we walk away, when we stumble, God says, "You can come back to me." We can pray the prayer in Lamentations 5:21, which says, "Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joy we once had." Now, last week we talked about the 7th benefit of grace, which is how we grow in grace. The Scripture says in 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're commanded to do that. The more you grow in grace, the more you're going to grow spiritually, the more you're going to come close to God. If you are growing as a Christian, you should be closer to God today than you were last year at this time. So maybe we ought to check up on ourselves. How about it? How are we? Are we closer to God today than we were a year ago? The bottom line really is this. If we are going to live the Christian life, it's got to be by grace. Everything that God does in you, for you, through you, He does it by grace. Everything is by God's grace, or you don't have it. We live, we move, we have our being because of God's grace. It is a gift that God has given us. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we deserve. And that's what we've looked at for the past 7 weeks. But you know, it would be a tragedy if we had gone through this entire series and some of you here today have never received God's grace, have never really opened your life up to receiving the amazing grace of God. You might be thinking, wow, you know, that sounds like what I need. That I've been somehow removed from God. I've been separated from God in a way that I haven't felt close to Him. You know, what I'm hearing you say is really something that I need. I want to be close to God. I want to be saved. I want to be sustained. I want to be healed. I want to be forgiven. I want to be transformed. How do I do that? How do I experience what God is so lovingly want to give me? How do I receive this amazing grace of God? The Bible says it in three simple words. By trusting Christ. That's how you receive the grace of God. God made it so simple that nobody could say it was too hard to understand, or it was too hard to do, or that I didn't have opportunity to come to God. There's not 23 steps, or there's not a 4 pathway, or there's not a 32 rituals that you have to go through. It's simply by trusting Christ. That's it. It's just as simple as putting my faith in Him. And that's the wonderful news of God's amazing grace. You see, it's available today. It's available now. It's available simply by me opening my heart right now, at this moment, and receiving God's grace by trusting in Jesus. The Bible says in John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. All of grace, all of what we're talked about for the past 7 weeks is wrapped up in a person. Jesus is the source of what we've been talking about for the past 2 months. Grace and truth comes through a person. It comes through Jesus Christ. And it was all made possible because of what He did for you and me, for His death on the cross for us. If you don't get this amazing grace through Christ, you don't get it. You don't get grace through religion, or coming to church. You get grace through a relationship, through a person. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, the Scripture says, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. That's the good news about God's amazing grace. Jesus came, gave Himself, He died for our sins, and then He was resurrected to give us this new life, to share it with us, to allow us to have it. You become a friend of God through what Jesus did. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did. You see, receiving amazing grace is not about you. It's about God. It's not about how good you are or bad you are. It's not about what you do or what you say or how you act or don't act. It's about trusting in God that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. The Bible tells us how much God loves us. In 1 John 3:16, It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's love. That's real love. That's what we should be grateful for. Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. That's what love is. And I accept what he did for me. I accept his grace today. You know, near the city of San Juan Campos in Brazil, there's a remarkable facility. It's a prison. And 20 years ago, the Brazilian government, they were having a lot of trouble with the prisoners that were being incarcerated and how to take care of them, how to reform them, what to do with them. And so the Brazilian government turned over this prison to a band of Christians who had an interest in that prison and had an interest in the people who were being incarcerated there. And so the prison facility was turned over and it said, you can run it, and you can run it on your principles, your Christian principles, because we know that's what you're trying to do. So the prison was turned over to them, and they cleaned up the prison, and they renamed it Humanita. And with the exception of the two full-time staff members, all the work that was done was done by the inmates. And so families outside of the prison, they began to adopt an inmate to do work, and they worked with them during their term while they were in prison. Now, I don't know if you remember Chuck Colson. It wasn't too long ago that Chuck Colson, he was in the government for a number of years, and then he was incarcerated for some impropriety, and he became a Christian while he was in jail. And since his release, he has become a kind of agent for Christianity. But not too long ago, Chuck Colson went and visited this prison. He said, when I visited Humanita, I found the inmates, when I went in, they were smiling. It is not what you would expect in a prison. I found the inmates smiling, and particularly the murderer who was standing at the door with the keys and opened the door to allow me to come in. He opened the gate and let me come into the prison. When I walked in, I saw men who were at peace with themselves and who were at peace with God. Not what you would expect in a prison. I saw clean living areas. I saw people working, industrialists. The walls were decorated with biblical sayings from Psalms and Proverbs. Again, not what you would expect in a prison. My guide escorted me to a notorious prison cell that was once used for torture. And today he told me that block houses only one single inmate, this cell used for torture. And as we reached the end of this long concrete corridor, and he put the key in the lock, he paused for a minute and turned around, and he said, are you sure you want to go in? Of course, Chuck Colson replied impatiently, I've been in isolation cells all over the world. Slowly, the man swung the massive door open, and Chuck Colson stood there, and he saw the prisoner in that punishment cell. And it was a beautifully carved crucifix by the Humanita inmates. The prisoner was Jesus, hanging on the cross. He was innocent, but the guide said, he's doing time for the rest of us. And this is what the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus is all about. Jesus is serving your time. He's paying your penalty. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He died in your place. And we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your amazing, outrageous, inconceivable grace that you are taking for me what I deserve. But because you love me, you are setting me free. And in light of what Jesus Christ has done for us, what should our response be? How should we react to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ? In light of that fact, all of those seven things that grace offers to us are made possible because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. So, the question is, how should you respond? What should you do about that? Paul said it this way. He said, so we beg you. Now, hear the urgency in Paul's voice. We beg you, do not let the grace you receive from God be for nothing. What do I owe Jesus Christ for what he did for me? I owe him the rest of my life. I owe him all that I've got. I owe him the past and the present and the future of my life. Everything. And so as we conclude this 8-week series today, I want to give you three ways you can express gratitude for God's grace. Here's the first way. I can show my gratitude for God's grace by making my life count. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, don't you see that you can't keep on living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? So let people see God in you and through your body. You can't understand the grace of God and just keep on living the same way you've always lived. You can't understand the grace of God and keep on ignoring His commands or His... Can't keep on wasting your time on trivial things and on yourself. You can't keep on spending your money on any way you think you want to spend it just for selfish and greedy reasons. You can't do that anymore. You have been bought with a price. You were created for a purpose. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for you just to go on living your same old way that you want to live it. He made you for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. He redeemed you for a purpose. He died for you for a purpose. And He wants you to fulfill that purpose. A lot of people don't even know the purpose that God created them and brought them into this world and redeemed them. They don't know why God did that. The abilities and the talents and the opportunities and the education and the freedom and the relationships and all the things that you have that bless your life were given to you for a purpose, not to be squandered, not for yourself, but for a purpose in God. They were given for a purpose that God expects you to use for that purpose. He has shown you His grace so that you can make your life count for someone else. Make your life count because of the love you show to someone else. Make your life count because you share the goodness of God through yourself to them. You were created for a purpose. Here's the second thing. You can show my gratitude for God's grace by becoming a generous person. If you want to measure how much you understand grace, if you want to measure how much you're living by grace, if you want to measure how much you're grateful for grace, look at your giving. Here in the scripture it says, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give. not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Notice in that scripture, the alls that we're using, all grace, all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will go about in every good work. Those are the promises related to the person who becomes like Christ. What was Christ like? He was a giver. God so loved the world that He gave, all the way down to His life. The Christian life is summed up in three words: to love, to serve, and to give. And until you learn to be generous with your time and your money and your life and your resources and your opportunities, you're not going to be like Christ. Nothing is greater proof that you understand grace than you are lovingly, graciously, and generous to other people and to God. The Bible says, if you give cheerfully and liberally and abundantly what God's going to do for you, He will take care of all your needs, all the time, in every way, however you need them. In Romans 8:32, it says, since God loved us enough to give His own Son, won't He love us enough to take care of every one of our other needs? Of course He will. God wants me to become generous like Him, and He wants me to make my life count. Those are the ways to show gratitude. Well, here's the third way and the last way that I want to share with you today, how to show my gratitude for God's grace, and that's by sharing the good news of grace. In Acts 20:24, it says, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. Notice it doesn't say the most important thing in life is to get married or to fund your retirement or to travel a lot. It's not to have a lot of fun. It's not to become famous. It's not to just simply pay off your house and be debt-free. It says the most important thing in life is to fulfill your mission. If Jesus died on the cross for you, was raised from the grave for you, and showed His grace to you so that you can fulfill your mission, but if you don't, that's called a massive eternal mistake. Part of that mission that God has called us to, just a part, not all, is to tell other people the good news of God's grace. God put you on this earth for a reason. God put you on this earth for a purpose. And He has a mission that only can be fulfilled in you. Be part of that mission. That's what the Bible tells us. Once you step across the line and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're called to tell other people about God's goodness and His love and His saving grace. You know Christ because somebody told you. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the people who minister. Thank God for the people who want to get that message out so that other people will know, I want to tell you that God loves you and that it is in His Son that He saves you. Who has God put in your path that He wants you to tell about Him? If somebody died for you, would you want to know about it? Yes, Jesus died for every single person in this room and every single person in this world. Everybody needs Jesus. One of the ways we show gratitude for our own salvation is to share that good news with other people and to tell them about it. Because people are dying without the grace of God. And especially in this time of uncertainty and this time of selfishness and this time of self-interest, we don't find that people have that heart and that hope that God wants us to share with others. You see, everybody needs Jesus. And do not leave this service today after hearing the greatest news in the world about God's amazing grace without praying for somebody that you care about, that you love, that you're concerned, that they might hear the good news about God's amazing grace. There are people around you who are desperate for the good news in this year of the pandemic. There's this gaping God hole in their life, and they need to realize that only the grace of God can fill that hole and that void and that need in their life. And we have the greatest news in the world. We have this news about God's amazing grace. And the way we show our gratitude for this amazing grace of God is by making our own lives count, by living a life of extravagant generosity, and by telling as many people as we can that God loves you and that in Jesus you can have new life. That's God's amazing good news. And I pray that you will want that and share that. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, in this year of the pandemic, please forgive us for taking your grace for granted. We confess that, Father, at times we've been afraid to make our life count for you, afraid to use the abilities you've given us to share in ministry, afraid to put you first in our finances. We've been afraid to identify ourselves as a follower of you. Please forgive us for taking your grace for granted. And God, we now pray a personal prayer. And we pray this prayer to you. Thank you, Lord, for what Jesus has done for me. Father, I want to make my life count for you. I want to commit the rest of my life in serving you and fulfilling the purpose you made me for. I want to become a generous person, and I'm going to trust you with my life right now, including my finances and all my gifts and the things that you have given me. I want to be used in sharing the good news of your grace. And brothers and sisters here in this sanctuary and in the Sunday school rooms and out in the cars, if there is anyone here who has never let Jesus Christ into their life and who needs to start a relationship with the Lord, please pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe in you and I want to receive your amazing grace. Lord, thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I don't understand it all and why, but as much as I know, I want you to come into my life and save me and lead me from here on out. And so I surrender my heart and life to you now, and I pray this prayer in your name. Amen.